Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So where do you look for help when you're in trouble? Where's the first place that you go? Who's the first person that you turn to? Perhaps it's a friend, a neighbor, a family member. Someone that you know can help you in that situation. Someone you know that you can talk to. Someone you know can help. To whom do you turn? Who's the first person on your mind? Perhaps in the case of certain events, certain issues that you might have, you turn to different people, different experts, a doctor, a lawyer, someone who can help you with a particular issue. To whom do you turn first? And then, when things go well, when something good happens to you, to whom do you turn? To whom do you give thanks? Or to what do you give thanks? Do you say, I got lucky, I was fortunate? What do you say? To whom do you turn when things are not going well? And to whom do you turn when things are going well? That's a key indicator. Both of those are key indicators of what you believe, of what we all believe, of what we trust in, of what we find confidence in. And in our gospel reading for today, we see people who look to Jesus for help. And one in particular who not only looks to Jesus for help one time for one thing, as an expert in one area, but one who can help him in so many more things, who is his God, who is his Lord, and to whom he owes devotion and honor and thanks for all things. So let's look at our gospel reading for today. Here in our gospel reading, we have 10 lepers who are crying out to Jesus for mercy. Now, leprosy is not such a big deal today because we have found ways to treat it. But in the first century, leprosy was a big deal. It meant that you were separated from your community because it was extremely contagious. And in fact, sometimes leprosy could cause parts of your body to fall off and you become disfigured. It was a terrible disease. Terrible because of what it did to your body, but also because of what it did to your relationships with others. You had to be separated from your family and your friends and your community, your town, your village. And you had to go somewhere else. And so we see these 10 men who are lepers all living together, separated from their families, probably separated from their jobs, their way to earn money, and they're living alone. In fact, a leper had to warn people if someone else came near to the leper, they had to say unclean, to warn the person to stay away. They had to be socially distant. That's not a new thing. And so these lepers are suffering a great deal. And they somehow know about Jesus. Somehow they've heard about him. And they cry out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Notice they don't just ask for healing. They call out for Jesus to have mercy. They need Jesus' help. And Jesus, with a word, tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. You see, this was the normal order of things for God's people, the Jews, is they had to go and show themselves to the priests, and the priests were to evaluate the person, and there was a process, you can read about it in the book of Leviticus, to see if someone was in fact healed of leprosy and then could re-enter the community. And these men are not healed instantly when Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. But they believe Jesus' word. They believe at least that Jesus has the power to do this work of cleansing them of their leprosy, and they're going to start going to the priests. And while they are on their way, obeying Jesus' word, trusting what he says, believing that he can in fact do this, it would seem, they are healed along the way. Now, one of them turns back. We don't know if he actually made it to the priests or not. Perhaps he did. Perhaps he went later. But he turns back after he sees that he is healed. And he goes to Jesus. And he falls down on his face before Jesus, giving him thanks. And we find out that this man was a Samaritan. So this man had rightly called out to Jesus for mercy, just as all of the other ones had cried out to Jesus for mercy. They had seen that Jesus was the one that could help them. And we should all learn from these men to do that, to cry out to Jesus for mercy. When we are in any kind of trouble or difficulty, to believe and know that the one who is God over all, who has created all of the people that we might look to for help, who's created us and our bodies, who has in his book written every day of our lives before they came to be, who knitted us together in our mother's womb, who fearfully and wonderfully made us. This Lord is the one who takes care of us and provides for us what we need. And the first one we should look to is to Jesus. The first one we should look to is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has the power over all things. He is the one who has made us, and not only has made us, but who has provided for us to be made right with him in Jesus Christ. He is the one who has given an answer to the evils of this world by his cross. And so when we are in the midst of any evil, what we are to do is to cry out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has atoned for our sins on the cross, who has provided a way for us to be reconciled with God. He has provided the ultimate solution to all the problems of this world, because he promises that at the end he is going to return and we're going to see the full benefits of his cross. That the full benefits of what he has done will be seen when he comes again in glory and evil is once and for all forever destroyed. And so to whom do we need to look first when we're in any kind of difficulty and trouble? To the one who has not only made us, but the one who has provided for our redemption and salvation and eternal life. Who has provided for the way for all of these problems to be done away with. He is the one we must look to. So we must cry out to Jesus for mercy like these lepers do in any and every situation that we find ourselves. But we should also go a step further and do what this one particular Samaritan does. In calling out to Jesus with a loud voice like he does and giving him thanks and praising him as God. And Jesus commends this man. In fact, he says, "Was no one found to return and give thanks except this foreigner, or give praise to God except this foreigner?" This man recognizes that Jesus is more than just a miracle worker who can solve this one problem. We can easily treat Jesus like someone who is just a specialist in one particular area. Just like we might treat a surgeon who can take care of a back problem that we have. This doctor is here for this particular ailment, and he provides for me this service, and then I go on my way and I live my life, and that's that. And so, too, we don't know what these particular lepers were thinking about Jesus. We can't get inside their heads, but I can see how someone could look at Jesus and see him as somebody who is just there to fix particular issues. This particular problem that I'm having, perhaps give me this particular healing, but then when that's done, then I go on my merry way and I live my life as I want. Jesus provides me some sort of service. I might even say thank you to him for it. I might even recommend him to others for that particular thing. But then I go and live my life the way I want to live it. But this Samaritan goes a step further, and he comes back to Jesus, and he falls down on his face at Jesus' feet and praises him as God. And Jesus accepts this worship because he is God. Others in the Bible, if they are bowed down to and they are not God, they will refuse that worship. But this is a recognition, a confession here that Jesus is in fact God. And the Samaritan rightly recognizes this. And he gives praise and glory and honor to Jesus as God. And looks to him for more than just healing from leprosy. He doesn't just move on and say, that's great, isn't that nice? I'll send other lepers to Jesus and tell them to get healing from leprosy too. But he comes back to Jesus and bows down in worship. He wants to be with Jesus, the God of the universe, who is to be his Lord. That's why Jesus has come. Jesus has come not just to do some miracles, to give people temporary healing for this life. Because all those people that Jesus healed eventually died. They died from something else, some other problem. The main point was not just to give them healing here and now. The main point was to give them reconciliation with God and the forgiveness of their sins. And that's what all of those lepers needed to recognize, and that's what all of us need to recognize as well, is that Jesus isn't here just to give us one particular help with one particular thing. He's here to give us reconciliation with God and to be our Lord, that we may, as we say in the Catechism, live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. He is here to buy people back from slavery to Satan and sin and death and make us slaves of righteousness. That means that all of our lives then are ordered by him and his word. That we bow before him as Lord, like this man bows before Jesus. And recognize now that he calls the shots. He orders our calendars and our checkbooks and our time and our resources. He orders everything. Everything is ordered by Jesus because we are his servants. We are his children. We have been made new in him. We are new creatures in Christ. And he is to be our God, and nothing else is to be in between us and him. Like this leper, we run to Jesus and bow down at his feet, right next to Jesus, wanting him to be with him, to receive his gifts, to have his love, to have this intimate relationship with our Lord, as we do when we come to this table, where it is so intimate that our Lord gives us his very body and blood into our mouths. The very body and blood that he shed on the cross, he comes into us. And we know that he dwells in us for the forgiveness of our sins. This is the life of a Christian, what we see here described. When we are in any trouble or difficulty, crying out to Jesus for help. But not only in difficulty, at all times, in all places. And then also giving thanks and praise to our Lord as the one who gives us all things and acknowledging him as God and falling down on his feet in worship. And giving thanks and praise to him each and every day. Not just once a week, but every single day. And we practice that here. We do it for real. And we learn to do it each and every day. As here, we cry out to our Lord, as we did already. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Crying out to our Lord for his help. And then we will do that again when we come to the Lord's Supper and we call Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then we ask him, have mercy upon us. Twice, have mercy upon us. And then grant us your peace. And then not only do we cry out to our Lord for mercy again and again, and we learn to do that here and recognize him as the one who gives us all good things and helps us in any and every trouble or worry or difficulty, but we also give thanks to Him. Over and over again, we give thanks. You should notice it, especially in the service of the sacrament. When we say it is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And then we go on to say what He has done, why we should give Him thanks. He is the reason that we have mercy and that we can approach life and all the difficulties that we have, knowing that we have eternal life in Him and forgiveness. That should we die today on the way home, that we look forward to life with Christ. And so we give thanks to Him each and every day for this confidence and comfort. And then at the end of our service, we also give thanks. Notice we say, the pastor says, let us bless the Lord. And then we respond, thanks be to God. The pastor invites you to praise God, like this man praises God here. To bless the Lord. That is, when those who are lesser are blessing someone who is greater, in Scripture that means that we are giving Him praise for His ability to save us and to rescue us. And so we simply say in response, thanks be to God. We are giving thanks for all that Jesus has done for us in the service and giving us His forgiveness, all that He has done for us on the cross, all that He has done for us in our baptism. We are giving thanks again. This is the life of a Christian. Calling out to our Lord for mercy and help in each and every trouble. And then also giving Him thanks for all that He has done. And recognizing that all of the good things that we have, our body, our breath, our heartbeat, our home, our cars, our investments, all the things that we have are a gift from God. They could be taken away at any moment. But everything that we have today, here and now, is a gift of God. And every day is a day to give thanks to our Lord for all His benefits, especially, most important, for the gift of His Son and the eternal life He has won for us. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.